Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Surrounding the Colorado Rockies, now at 4-1, they are undefeated on the road. Jades, undefeated, 2-0. Can't win them all if you don't win the first two games on the road. Rockies taking down the Rangers last night, and this was an interesting game. What was it in the fifth inning when Grichuk? Well, was it the fourth or fifth inning? Rockies are up 3-1, I believe. And Grichuk saves an opportunity for the Rangers to go up 4-3 with this monster beauty of a play.
This ball in the air, deep out to center field. Way out there to center field. It is caught! That's unbelievable! Took back a three-run homer from Corey Seager. Yeah, Chacin with a wow. Walking off. That's Heartbreak City right there for Seager and the Rangers.
Randall Grichuk with the big play there. Wow. I mean, that game could have changed drastically had he not caught that ball. Because I believe, yeah, it would have made the score. It would have made the score 4-3, wouldn't it, at that time? And then instead the Rockies go on to hang on. They end up getting another run in the seventh, kind of an insurance run. They win 4-1. Daniel Bard gets the save. Chacin gets the dub, and he was pretty happy. He was pretty happy with old Randall. That was a hell of a play. So far, play of the year for the Rockies. Is it April? Is that what it is? Or is this team different? You know, Chris Bryant has been pretty good, getting a hit every time he's played. CJ Krohn, other than last night, but Krohn has been really good. And then what can you say about Connor Joe? He has been Mr. Consistent. He's played in every game. A couple of big plays last night. And he continues to roll. Pitching staff, the bullpen so far so good. You know, the noob in Chad Kuhl, good job for him. I mean, he walked a few guys early but was still able to get out of trouble. And you have a Rockies team now sitting at 4-1, 2-0 on the road, and got the day off today. Already, a little break from the absolute craziness of the first five games. Are you buying into the hype?
Right now I am. As long as it stays consistent.
But you actually are buying stock in this. Like, you think this is going to carry over.
I don't. I want it to, as much as I want it to. But I did read a stat that the Rockies have the best record in baseball right now, and you said that their bullpen was just, whatever, it's mid. No, they have the best ERA in baseball.
Five games!
Best ERA in baseball, though. I mean, when your worst part of your team has the best stat in baseball for that category, I mean, that's pretty phenomenal.
Oh, Jades. I know you're a baseball guy, so you're obsessed with stats. But five games in, you're obsessed with stats?
Yeah, I mean, that's still five games that they had to produce. I mean,
I'll give you this. They don't even have to be number one. If they're top 10 bullpen by May 15th, I'm taking you out to lunch. Of your choice.
That's a deal.
Like, wherever you want to go.
Ruth's Chris.
Okay.
That's a steakhouse, by the way.
Where is that?
Denver.
Okay, I was like, that's not in Greeley. There's like eight restaurants in Greeley.
You might regret that one.
Why? Is it expensive?
It's expensive.
Can we keep it to a minimum of something?
No Subway for you.
Yeah, I was thinking McDonald's, to be honest. I pop you through the drive-thru real fast.
Yeah, perfect.
Just grab you some nuggies. And away we go. If May 15th are top 10, I'll buy you lunch.
And I'm not saying that they're going to – obviously, they're not going to be able to maintain that. But for them to be able to put up those numbers against the Dodgers.
Yeah, and enjoy it. Listen, I'm not here to steal anybody's happiness. I'm enjoying it. Last night was fun. That, again, does seem like this – I mean, Charlie Blackmon, we talked about him at great length yesterday, and he had a good game. So I feel it's fun to watch. It's kind of like going into the playoffs with the Nuggets on Saturday. My expectations aren't necessarily that they're going to do anything crazy in these playoffs, but I'm hopeful, and I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. Same thing with the Rockies. I'm hopeful. I don't think they're a playoff team, but that doesn't mean they're a bad team. That means that they're going to do all the right things to grow this year, and then maybe next year is the year they put it together. But we'll see. I mean, you're right. If the bullpen can keep doing what they're doing, I mean, Daniel Bard looked good. Estevez looked good. Chacin obviously looked good. I like it. It's good. But that is the weakness. Although here's what I'm worried about is that the weakness is shifting. That it's going to shift. The bullpen might be strong. Starting pitching might give us fits here. Is that how it's going to shift out? I wonder.
You know, I could see that happening. I think the weakness is still going to be the bullpen. I mean, I just like the way they've looked so far. I mean, how could you not? But
well, all your new assets are producing.
Right.
I mean, you had Chad Kuhl, solid game. Not a great game, but solid.
I mean, if your fifth starter in the rotation can get you... Tanner and I were talking about this from NoCo Now. He actually was... we were talking about how if your fifth starter can get you between a 4 and a 4.5 ERA, that's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. But again, that's...
That's a
stretch.
You've got
to give it a couple of weeks. And right now, it is exciting, but you are going to get the mass contingency of Rockies fans say it's April, and this is what happens sometimes. This is why baseball they do have so many games, Jades, because it truly seems to take all of those games to vet out who's good and who's not, because depth will come into play in any sport, mainly baseball though. By the time you get to May. Or late June, what's your team look like if so-and-so goes down, if so-and-so is struggling? You know, when Connor Joe slows down, inevitably, who takes his place? If Kyle Freeland he's already prone to injuries. Chad Kuhl, I saw, had a boo-boo on his finger, almost gets pulled last night, but he ends up getting through it. And I kid, it's just funny because... Pitchers can have the smallest blister, but it does affect it affects everything. But it's funny. That's going to be my big thing. So right now, enjoy it. Like, you got the Cubs series coming up tomorrow, which we have tickets for that, by the way. I'm going to give away a little bit later on. Rockies Cubs, boy, that's going to be fun. So stay tuned. We'll do that later on in the show. But there's a lot still to come. But enjoy it right now. You're 4-1. Have fun with it.
It's funny that you talk about the injuries. I had a guy on my fantasy baseball team, Ian Anderson. He had a blister on his toe, and he was day-to-day.
Yeah, that's one is interesting. But it's like you see football guys, and we're talking about Jamal Murray coming back from an ACL. And, like, Bud Black and everybody surrounded Kuhl last night looking at his little blisty. And, again, when you throw a ball, and if it's right there on your fingertips, it's going to affect how you throw the ball. It's going to hurt. It's going to get worse. So... It makes sense. It's just hilarious when you compare that injury to any other injury in sports. And, you know, people do like to poke fun at it.
Oh, so true. But I want to take a step back. I want to talk a little bit more about this Rockies team and where they're going to find struggles. I think that they really have a solid team. And I'm feeling a lot more optimistic about the team than I did coming into the season. And I even anticipated this April to be strong, as always.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Of course, I would have put $1 million the fact that the Rockies would have a winning record in April.
And I actually anticipated that Connor Joe was going to have a breakout season this year. And I understand it's 5 games, but I seriously do think, although his numbers right now aren't maintainable, that he is going to put together a solid season. And he won't be in contention for MVP voting or anything, but he'll be a solid player, someone you can really rely on. I think that Charlie Blackmon, he's obviously going to step up. I mean, he did better last night.
He did better last night, but see, this is where you lose me on that. Like, he's obviously going to step up. I still feel like Charlie's taking a step back, and I see his better days behind him. Is he going to produce a game like he did last night? Yeah, I'll give it once a week, even. I'll give you that. Maybe once a week he puts together a decent game for you overall. But I just don't think – I think his better days are behind him. You're going to definitely ride the Chris Bryant train. That guy's going to be good all year. I can see the consistency there. Your outfield is certainly better than it's been in a long time. So that's a big deal. They have a lot of great pieces right now. But the age-old question is baseball is what's your starting pitching look like and what's your bullpen look like? And at the end of the day, that's what this team's ultimately going to be judged by. They've been able to hit the ball for a long time. Their offense has been able to go look at a random game and bet on the Rockies. It's always the over-under is like 10 or 11 because you just know the Rockies are going to put together like 6, 7, 8 of those runs. It's going to be about the defense. It's going to be about the pitching ultimately. And I'm hopeful that this is a great sign. But I'd be lying to you if I said in the back of my mind, I'm still going, it's April. It's the first week of baseball. We're not even in the first week yet. I need to see where they are. Like May 15th, that's the date. Mark it down, May 15th. If there are 5-6 games over 500 still, and the bullpen's still rolling, then I'm gonna say, all right, this team does seem to be better. And I don't think that's that far-fetched. I'm just not getting too excited just yet.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I am, too. I mean, it hurts me to say that they're not going to be a playoff team this year because I want them to be so bad. But you're right. It is too early. But like I said, I am feeling much more optimistic than I was going into the season.
Well, Kenny Swami says, I'm buying all of the hype, but Jades of Spades is wrong about the bullpen. They will come back down to earth at some point.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they're going to be able to maintain what they're doing, but I just think it's a strong sign of what's going to come. Like, if your bullpen's going to be producing not this good, but better than it has in years, that's going to give you, what, 5 or 6 more wins? I mean, the Rockies' bullpen blows several games every year.
That's true. Well, I feel like they've already won 2 games that they don't normally win against the Rangers, both of these games. I feel like the first game, that felt like a game, okay, they go up. They're up 1-0. You think they should be up bigger, but instead they're not able to grow their lead. They go down 3-1. They end up coming back, forcing extra innings, and win that game. Craziness. Last night, I felt like what was that going to be a 3-run shot if Grishik doesn't catch that ball, doesn't make that play, and suddenly you're down 4-3. What does that do to the momentum? What does that do to your mentality? So I felt like that could have certainly been a loss. That catch right there was a monster play. That was a huge play. Both for the psyche of this team, but also that's a game you stole. And we've seen it in baseball, even though there's a bazillion games, it typically comes down to 1 to 5 games when we're in that wild card race. So game like last night, a series like this against the Rangers, you kind of feel like you stole a couple there. You got to be pretty happy with that. Eastside Chris says, J-Dog. I like that one. That's good. Go to the den. I don't think you can go to the den.
Not quite old enough.
You could stand outside, I suppose.
Yeah.
You could be my driver. How about that? Yeah. 18 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. When we come back, I want to hit my big story of the day. Playing games last night, a fan glued him or herself, I haven't looked at it enough, to the floor during the Minnesota Clippers game last night. I wish I was just talking about the game, but a fan glued themselves to the floor. That is awesome. Whole show, we'll be right back. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Don't go anywhere.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
I don't know if the girl last night needed any reason or rhyme. for what she was doing. It was a girl, by the way. I didn't see it live. I watched a good chunk of the game, but went back. I was watching the Rockies Rangers game for the most part, flipping back and forth. I called Minnesota to win, by the way, right, Jades? That's what the record shows, so you're welcome for that, folks. That's not really the story. Well, there's two stories. Minnesota celebrated like they just won the Super Bowl. Is that too much, or are they just thrilled that they got into the playoffs? Wow. Okay. A woman, like, glued her hand in protest, like, right under, you know, the out-of-bounds line, right under the rim. Still out-of-bounds, though. She glued her hand down there. So it was very weird. Apparently, it was a fan glued her wrist to the court at Target Center during the game between the T-Wolves and the Clippers. There was a handprint. I mean, there's you could see where, like, she, how long did she give herself to dry? Like, they go down the floor and she's going, okay, now's my time. Elmer's glue, Elmer's glue, bam. And then she's blowing on it. She's like, come on, here they come. And of course they just went, because it's Elmer's glue. It takes a while. And it's still Elmer's glue. I'm not sure what kind of glue it was. But what was the plan here? That was the protest? I mean, she should have used Gorilla Glue. Have you ever used Gorilla Glue, Jades? That crap works. I use it for my hair. I don't have to comb my hair for 2 weeks. And some typically have to just shave it off. What was the... Oh, here we go. Animal Rights Act. Isn't that how it always go? Wait, what are you doing using glue? Isn't glue made from animals? Am I wrong on that? What is glue made of? Not the kind you snort, Jades. Okay, all right. Direct Action Everywhere, an animal rights activism group, told Fox 9 in the Twin Cities the woman was a member. The group was concerned with an egg farm owned by Glenn Taylor, the longtime Timberwolves governor, who sold the franchise to Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lohr. The plan, they said, wasn't to shift momentum in the game. That's what it did. The Timberwolves were down. They were down by like 8 points, 7 points. The game was halted. And then the T-Wolves came back and they were up by two at halftime. Thanks, animal rights activist.
You know, this is actually, you might be a little bit disgusted after you find out what's in glue. It says here, the animal remains that are the raw materials for glue may include ears, tails, scraps of hide or skin, scrapings from the fleshy sides of hides, tendons, bones, and feet.
From animals, correct?
Correct.
Not humans, that would be weird.
Animals.
So she's using glue from animals. I'm looking at a picture of her too, man. It's like very... you know, culty, like heal the world. She's very creepy situation. The Wolves win 109-104. Weird. It's got me thinking, like, what's some of the weirdest stuff that's happened at games that people do? I hope this isn't a new trend. Like, what did she think was going to happen? She's going to glue her hand to the thing and she's going to just stay there? Like, what happens? She stays there for, let's assume that the glue stuck her hand to the floor like she had planned. What's the plan after that? They're going to have to rip it off? They have to rip some skin off? What a weird situation. Jades, I got to get to this, man. My big story of the day, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Derek Carr agrees to a three-year, $121.5 million extension with the Las Vegas Raiders. They got their quarterback. Josh McDaniels has their guy. No trade clause. They have Carr now under contract through the 2025 season. 31 years old already. Man, time flies, doesn't it? He's set to make $19.8 million in base salary in 2022. And then he signed a 5-year extension for $125 million back in 17. That was the richest contract in history at that point. Times have sure changed. You asked me this morning, like, what I think about that. Is that a good move by the Raiders? Are there still too many variables with Derek Carr? Here's what I say about Derek Carr. I think he's been through a lot of change in his career as the Raiders head coach, or as with Raiders head coaches. I mean, when was Derek Carr drafted? Like 10, was it 8 years ago, something like that. And look at all the coaches he's been through, all the changes he's been through. He's been part of the move too. Does having Josh McDaniels finally give him some stability? And clearly they talked to McDaniels. He thinks he can turn this thing around. I mean, when was Carr? Can you give me some efforting music here? We need to figure out. When was he drafted? Because I'd just like to know. Thank you. Derek Carr was drafted in 2014. So he had Dennis Allen as a head coach. He had Tony Sperano. He had Jack Del Rio. He had John Gruden. He had Rich Biscaccia as an interim. And now Josh McDaniels. The Raiders might feel like, okay, we need stability. That was the plan with Gruden, was stability. I mean, they signed him to a 10-year deal, and then all the emails and stuff went through. As a Broncos fan, whatever. I still think the Broncos have the better quarterback. They have the better situation. So I'm not that incredibly worried. It's going to be the competition in the West is going to be good. This doesn't change my fear or opinion of the West one way or the other. I think Carr's a good quarterback. But I think that this move is about, all right, we want stability, and we think Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr are going to make a really good team. I'm actually very intrigued and a bit scared of what those two can do. Because I've said this, when Josh McDaniels was fired, I said, I think when he gets a second shot, he's going to be a really good coach. I think he just bit off way more than he could chew. He was a GM. He was a coach at the very, early 30s. I think he's going to do a good job. Do I think the Raiders are going to be better than the Broncos next year? No. I think the Broncos are going to win the AFC West. Yes. I'm sticking with that. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, get the latest on the quarterback situation and what's kind of sticking out to him. It is spring ball. We're getting close to wrapping it all up, but always some interesting news. I have news about UNC football as well, some interesting news. Stuff on Jamal Murray, too. How close is he? Are we going to see a comeback in the playoffs, in the first round, this weekend? Where's Trey McBride going to get drafted? And I also have Rockies tickets to give away for tomorrow night. So no reason to tune away from the whole show. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome into The Hull Show. Welcome back to The Hull Show, I should say. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, great friend of the show's, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, I'm going to ask you our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Are you buying into the Rockies hype?
No.
Okay, good. Now, I'm not there. I'm enjoying the moment, but I'm not buying
exactly.
It.
Exactly. I mean, think of it this way. They play 162 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to make that into a, if you're going to compare that to a football season, you've got to play, like 11 games or something? I mean, to equal one football game?
That's a great point. So they're like one, and they're going to be like 1-0 then, pretty soon.
Well, yeah, exactly right. And so, you know, and listen, what are they going to have to lose in the opener? They've won, is it 4 in a row?
Yeah, so they're 4-1?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like they're 0.4-0 right now.
There you go. There you go. And so that's why, you know, Coach Barnett always tells me, during the college football season, he always says, a team, you do not know what a team is until they're 5 games in, okay? And so if you're going to compare that, you know, that's a college football deal right there. If you're going to kind of compare that to Major League Baseball, I mean, heck, you're going to have to play 5 games in. I mean, so you're almost halfway. You're going to have to play, 70 games or something to really know what they're all about. Right?
Yeah. No, I'm saying if by May 15th, maybe a little later, there's still like 5 or 6 games over 500 and the bullpen still performing, then maybe I start to believe a little bit. But we've been here. This is April. Rockies are amazing in April.
It. No doubt about it, man. There have been some good starts over there. I've been around here 18. This is my 19th season now. I've been in town here since I got here from watching the Rockies, and there have been a lot of nice starts. Then all of a sudden, once you get into June and July, and then things kind of go south. And so, let's enjoy it. You know, that's one thing we do in sports all the time, Brady. We have to jump the gun all the time. We've got to be going, oh, my God, this is great. You know, we see college basketball, it's one of the greatest games ever. Well, let's hold on a second. Let's sit back and enjoy it and just kind of watch what unfolds. And over the course of time, the stats will begin to tell us exactly what this team is. And, you know, then the injury thing is going to hit everybody at some point in time. And so let's enjoy the 4-1 start right now and just cheer on our team in purple, right?
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, they get the day off today after a grueling start to the season. So get a nice day off. Mark, hey. I saw your Twitter. I saw you were hanging out with a Buff celebrity there with Mr. Philip Lindsay the other day.
No, actually, Philip Lindsay was hanging out with a Buff celebrity.
That's right. That's right. Did you give him the autograph? Because I know that's what he's been trying to get, or maybe he already
no
has
doubt
one.
About it. Yeah, we took a photo on his phone and that kind of stuff. No. Yeah, he was out there at practice the other day at the scrimmage on Saturday, and so I wanted to catch up with Phil. And listen, I think of all the years I've been doing this, he's one of my favorite guys ever to cover, just because of the genuineness that Phil always has. Wears his heart on his sleeve. Loves the program. We're standing out to the field. At one point in the interview, I said, you know, this is a field that, you know, you left your blood, sweat, and tears on, literally, for a guy like that. Mm. So, yeah, one of my favorites ever. So, yeah, you can go to my Twitter account, at MJ Buffs Voice, and you can check out that interview with Phil. And I did ask him where he thought he was going to end up. At this point, he's not sure what's going to happen in the NFL, but I hope he gets a few more years in and gets to that pension area and makes at least one more nice contract than the National Football League.
I do, too. And, man, Mark, there for a moment, I really thought Philip was, you know, I talk about looking in the future. I tend to do that. I get a little excited sometimes. But I was like, oh, watch out, Philip Lindsay. He's going to do that number 30 proud. He's going to break records. And again, for 2 years, you know, he looked really good. He's one of them, man, that I was really bummed to see. Obviously, the Colorado connection, but he just, I love his attitude. I love his demeanor. And you know that better than anybody. It was a bummer to see him leave Denver.
No doubt about that. I was brokenhearted by that. I really was. I thought they should have kept him around. You know, now, we know about the running back position. I mean, in this day and age, you know, watching a guy play 12, 13 years as a running back in the NFL just doesn't happen. I mean, you know, that 8-9, that's a long NFL running back career. I thought they could have given Phil one more contract, a 2 or 3 year deal, let him play that out. You know, he's going to be about 5 years in, and then, you know, then who knows? Because that's such a demanding and brutal, you know, physically brutal position that they play. And so I was disappointed by that because not only is a hometown kid, as you point out, but just the way in which he plays, he's a great locker room guy, he's an energy guy, all the things you like, but, you know, they decided to go elsewhere, and so he's bounced around with Houston and then Miami, and I just hope he gets another chance here and give him a couple more years in the NFL.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you there for sure. Did you guys talk any about his departure, you know, away from the Broncos? Did that conversation come up much?
We didn't get much into that. I mean, you know, it's you know, that he's crossed that bridge at this point in time.
Right.
And, you know, it's just disappointing. And, you know, I was always with that previous coaching staff of the Broncos. I was always hearing that, you know, Pat Shermer was never a big fan of his. And I'm trying to figure out what exactly you don't like. Now, you may say, you know, he's a little small side, right? But from an NFL running back standpoint, he's not the biggest guy in the world. I get that. But how you can look at Philip Lindsay and say, yeah, I just don't want more of that on my team. Because there are so many qualities that just went down the list there, of, you know, that he has, that you want in your locker room, and the way he plays and how hard he plays, and I don't know, his teammates just loved him, for goodness sakes. And so I never quite understood that, and I don't know Pat Shermer, to be honest with you, but I've always wanted, I'd love to meet him sometime and go, seriously, I mean, outside of, okay, he's not the biggest guy, I get that. But you know, you weren't asking him to be, you know, a 20-carry guy, you know, per ball game. You were talking 7, 8, 9 carries and maybe a couple of passes on the backfield as a, you know, one of those kind of guys. What do you not like about the guy? I don't get it. So I'd love to ask that question at some point.
Yeah, it's funny to even hear Melvin Gordon and some of the other former players talk about, and Noah Fant talking about Pat Shermer, the way that they were utilized. And now you look at Noah Fant, and he's the first one from that class to get a contract extension. So clearly Seattle looks at that guy and goes, wow, you were being underutilized. Let's use you as the player you were supposed to be. So, yeah, if Pat Shermer's saying it, boy, it's hard for me to put much stock into it.
I just, you know, I've always been fascinated by this all my years covering college and NFL. There it seems to me there are two kinds of coaches. There are guys that I've got my system, and we're going to run my system, and I don't care what players you've got on here, you guys are going to play my system. The truly innovative coaches, you know, the Bill Belichicks of the world, I've always been impressed by. They look at the, and as much as painful as it is for us here in Colorado to look at the New England Patriots, look at the different ways over the years that Bill Belichick has won with that franchise, right?
Right.
I mean, they've had years where Tom Brady was throwing it all over the yard. Then they have had years where they're more physical. They ran the ball very effectively. And still, Tom's going to do what Tom did. And, you know, and then they've had great defensive teams. And so that has always made more sense to me. Be innovative and look at your team and say, how am I going to fit the concepts that I like to do? Sure. But how am I going to fit that system into this team and not this team into my system? It seems to me that's the smarter way to go, especially in the NFL where you've got such I mean, everybody up there is a great athlete, for goodness sakes. And if you put guys in real good positions, they can make plays. And so, yeah, it's always been a head-scratcher. Maybe that's part of the reason why that staff's not here with the Denver Broncos anymore.
Yeah, no, a bunch of decisions like that ultimately led to their departure. Again, Phillip Lindsay was a spark plug, and certainly hope, like you said, hope he lands on his feet. Mark, what else from the scrimmage on Saturday? You know, I know Buffs fans just eager to learn more and more about this team and, you know, what their next step's going to look like, what next season's going to look like. What can you tell us from Saturday?
Well, you know, I watch this team. First off, you know, the receiver numbers especially are down. Well, they've had a few guys that have been dinged up. They've got, you know, more fellas coming in. You know, once they get to the end of the semester, some of the freshmen will be here. And so there's not a lot of depth. And so there's times I watch and I'm wondering, okay, you know, they're not going real deep. I wonder if they're going all out and from a playbook standpoint because how the numbers are down. I think the offensive line is coming along nicely. There's three or four guys up there I'm pretty impressed with. The quarterback thing, you know, you can continue to watch Brendan Lewis. I thought Drew Carter threw the ball pretty well over the weekend. We're not going to get a lot of looks, you know, in real live action from JT Shroud in spring because he's still got the blue jersey on, and it's taken a while until he gets healthy until fall camp. And so that'll continue to be, I think, a work in progress from a quarterback standpoint. The real competition is going to take place once they get into camp around August 1st. I think R.J. Sneed, the Baylor wide receiver they brought in, looks to be a very solid receiver. I mean, he put up big numbers in Baylor. I think the more I see of him, the more I'm impressed. There's a lot of tight ends being played. I mean, you know, between Brady Russell, who's got the blue jersey on, by the way, so he's not going full go. But, you know, between he and Eric Olson and move on down the line with those tight ends, I mean, there's a lot of tight ends. My sense is the tight end is going to be a big part of this offense moving forward, so I think that's a good thing. On the defensive side, that secondary is growing. There's going to be some growing pains, I think, going through fall camp. I'm looking forward to see what they do in the scrimmage coming up on the 23rd. The linebacking core, there's depth there, as there is in the defensive front. I think we're still trying to figure out, you know, who those guys are and what that's going to look like when you lose veteran players like Nate Lamon and Carson Wells. But I do think there's a lot of opportunity. Guy Thomas has really flashed, I think, a few times, and we saw moments from him a year ago. So, yeah, there's a lot to look at it like. You know, if for a lot of teams, though, when you get to spring, you're kind of down on numbers because you've had graduation, you've had transfers, you've got some injuries, and so you're kind of playing with half a deck, if you will, for spring ball. And so, yeah, I'm learning as much as I can. I think there's reason to be optimistic.
Yeah, and again, you're right. Spring ball is always kind of that interesting time where you're getting snippets of it. You're kind of getting a preview, maybe, of what fall looks like. But still, so much work to be done. But you're saying, hey, I'm optimistic that Carl Durrell and company can get this offense back on the right foot because we did see some positive things at the end of the season.
Yeah, and, well, you know, here's the good news, right? When you're the 129th ranked offense in America, there's nowhere to go but up. So that's why, I mean, you know, they're going to be better. They're not going to be the 129th ranked offense in America again in 2022. That I guarantee you. They are going to get better. There's tools there. Now, most important, and I don't care if this is the Colorado Buffaloes, the Denver Broncos, or, you know, some peewee team up there in Greeley, you've got to play better at the quarterback position. That's going to determine everything. You know, you're only in the modern game. You're only as good as your quarterback. We have found that out. That's why everyone's still, you know, celebrating here in the Mile High City and all around the state of Colorado because they got a pretty good quarterback finally, right? And so that's going to be ultra important. That's why. So when they get to camp in August, and you're going to have JT Schrott going full go, and Maddox Kopp is going to have a full spring under his belt and all summer on 7-on-7 work. And you're going to see Drew Carter, being a little bit older, and Brendan Lewis looking to be the starter for the second row. Okay, now you've got some competition. And so that's going to be ultra important. You know, once you and I are chatting in the month of August, that'll be the thing we'll be looking at and watching and keeping tabs of every single week.
Yeah, no doubt about it, my friend Mark. Appreciate you as always. And we'll look to catch up with you next week, okay?
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Mark Johnson, that's the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 48 minutes after the hour, I still have a pair of tickets to give away for Rockies Cubs tomorrow night. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss that opportunity. What's going on at the University of Northern Colorado on the football side of things? Something pretty big that, you know, probably shouldn't have been big, but it is a pretty big story. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Allo Communication Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
/12:53, welcome back to The Hull Show, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Glad you could be here with us. Our First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What is going on at the University of Northern Colorado that you should know about? Well, we knew at the press conference on Monday, some of our KFKA folks, including Tanner Schwint, went over to listen in to Coach and learn more about the team and their response after the interesting Tribune article that was fairly damning, but ultimately proved to not have that much teeth. So it's business as well, maybe not usual, but man, we're resuming business there for the University of Northern Colorado football team. Coach McCaffrey talked a little bit about the lights, putting the lights up at the field at Nottingham Field, and I had talked to Coach about this a while back as well, just kind of getting his vision, and make no mistake about it, all kidding aside, I know a lot of people are still skeptical, especially after the article comes out and everything, but Coach McCaffrey, to me, has a vision for this program. I sat with him for quite some time, and we just walked around campus for a while. Checked out all the football facilities and everything, and I've been to the new weight room. There's a vision there. Coach McCaffrey tweeted this 3 hours ago, and I believe we're going to get Coach on tomorrow. He said, "I'm excited about the possibility of adding lights to Nottingham Field. UNC football fans can enjoy the excitement of football under the lights and will finally be eligible to host Big Sky playoff game." Whew, haven't been to the playoffs since they became a D1 FCS team. Coach McCaffrey went on to tweet, "Last year, my good friend donated our state-of-the-art turf field," which it is gorgeous if you haven't seen it. "This year, we had a group of wonderful UNC families and friends donate the Empower Performance Center." So they finished that off, right? "Now, another generous friend of McCaffrey has committed to the funding of our UNC Lights project at Nottingham Field. I realize we're still in the early planning stages, but the funding is in place. Go Bears." This is what you want. I was talking to Coach Bruce Dick about it this morning with Clark and the coach. And we were just sitting there going, man, it would be so good for Greeley if they could have a good football team. If the athletic side of things could really grow. And let me just say this. Love Ed McCaffrey, hate Ed McCaffrey, unsure about Ed McCaffrey. Make no mistake about it. If Ed McCaffrey's not the head coach for the UNC Bears, turf field's not happening. Are they finishing the Empower Performance Center? I don't know. Again, according to a coach's tweet, "We had a group of wonderful UNC families and friends donate the Empower Performance Center." So that probably doesn't happen. And then, of course, the lights project, now at least on the verge. That's probably not happening. So that's why, again, I like Darren Dunn. I like the staff. We talk about it. We talk about the hire. This is why you make that hire, even though Ed McCaffrey had no college football coaching experience as an assistant or head coach. This is why you make that hire. Because here's the deal, folks. You were a bad program before. A really bad program. Might as well get a big name in. And then at the very worst case scenario, you're a bad program with a big name. That's adding to your facility. That's growing. This facility, this turf field, the workout center, the lights, all of those things attract recruits. I say get behind it. Get excited. Talk about going to games. See if this team can turn it around. I'm optimistic about the Bears for next season. Turning it around. I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs, but maybe a few more wins. Second hour coming up next. It's going to be a fun one. What's going on with Jamal Murray? Is he coming back? Huh? Is he back yet? Is he back? Is he back yet? We'll find out next.